With the magic of internet, hopefully, we have got Mifanwy on the phone. Good afternoon, Mifanwy.
Hello, Alex.
How are you? Are you awake?
I am now awake.
Very
yes.
good. That's what we like to hear. I'm really sorry to have got you up from your night shift. That sounds far more important than us, but I'm really happy that you are speaking to us this afternoon. Now, you're going to speak about with the bonfire and firework season, we like to call it, really. It's not even one day, is it? And it's, you know, a long time coming. What ideas you can give us for pets? You know, I'm thinking cats and dogs, but I'm also thinking maybe rabbits, guinea pigs, I don't know. Ways to keep them sort of calmer and less stressed, because I know a lot of animals get really, really upset about it, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the most important things to remember when we're thinking about fireworks is really to plan ahead and be aware of the fact that people might be having, you know, private bonfire parties as well as the big ones that we'll see advertised locally. And so you need to be a bit kind of on your guard if you do know that your pet finds them stressful. And so making sure that you've got things like beds and things and gates and doors closed so that if they do get suddenly frightened, they don't run out onto the road. Just be extra vigilant so that we know that they're nice and safe throughout the whole period. But I guess one of the most important things that we can do when actually dealing with fireworks night is making sure that our pets have got somewhere that they feel safe and comfortable, that they can go and kind of hide away in if they are particularly nervous and anxious. This is really good for dogs, cats as well, but it also applies to any pets that are outdoors. So if you've got rabbits and guinea pigs or, you know, any goats or anything like that that you might be keeping in the garden, then maybe bringing them inside, or you can actually put maybe a duvet cover over the outside of the pen so that the sound is a bit more muffled.
Would that apply to chickens as well? I'm just thinking, because quite a few people have chickens, don't they? And I suppose they're outside a lot of times. So if you think you put a sort of a duvet or some sort of thick thing over their hen hutch or whatever it's called.
Hen house. A big double duvet, maybe with a tarpaulin or something over the top just so it doesn't get soaking wet. Definitely to just help muffle any sound. And just make sure that they are sort of shut in overnight so that if they do suddenly get scared or alarmed, that they're not going to kind of go fluttering off and, you know, get themselves either caught or end up out on the road or you know, in someone else's garden or something like that. So just being extra careful about making sure that gates and doors and everything are closed and maybe putting them to bed a little bit earlier. And then making sure, you know, for a dog, perhaps that you've got a nice dog crate in a nice quiet part of the house and that you make it comfortable for them. And if they get used to that being their sort of safe space, they will often go and take themselves off into that crate if they suddenly find themselves alarmed or scared by the fireworks. And then beyond that, what we can also think about doing are things like desensitizing them. So in the short term, what you can do is play other music or have the television on in order to kind of muffle the sounds of any loud bangs and keep the curtains closed so that they don't necessarily see all of the bright lights and things like that. But longer term, we can also think about doing desensitization therapy with them. So you can actually buy CDs or, you know, download audio files online that have got fireworks sounds being played. And if you start them off several months in advance, you can kind of gently turn the volume up over a series of months so that they stop finding the sounds quite as scary. And that way we can kind of reduce the stress on the evening for them just by planning ahead a little bit.
Oh, that's a really good one. I've never even thought of that or even heard of that. So that's something I would not have thought of.
There's a whole niche market out there. And then but there are always going to be some pets who, you know, despite our best attempts to make them feel safe and comfortable, are going to find these things very, very scary. And for them, there are some sort of supportive medical therapies that we can give in order to try to reduce their anxiety. So for cats, there's a product available called Feliway, and for dogs, there's an Adaptil product. So these are pheromones which are plugged into the wall, a little bit like an air freshener. and they fill the air with a pheromone that the cat or dog can detect. And it's supposed to be a pheromone that gives them a sense of well-being, a sense of peace or ease. And we use these in lots of different stress-related scenarios for dogs and cats, you know, maybe moving house, things like that. But you can get them, obviously, for fireworks night as well. And it will just often help to take the edge off a little bit to help them not feel as anxious. In the kind of olden days, I suppose, in years gone by, we might have even prescribed, you know, sleeping tablets or sedatives to dogs and cats that found things very stressful. But we try not to do that anymore because we've sort of realised that actually all we're doing is sedating them and they're still scared. They're just not able to respond as much. So trying to really alleviate the cause of the stress is a much better strategy than necessarily filling them full of medications.
Yeah, very good point. And what about wildlife in this sort of situations and bonfires? I know there's problems that couldn't there potential problems with bonfires or if you're having bonfires yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and I guess if you're having rockets as well or fireworks in your garden that go off and land in places.
Absolutely. So, well, there are two big issues. The first is the debris that that rockets can leave behind them. So, particularly if they end up in farmland where cattle are grazing, they can obviously ingest pieces of plastic and bits of metal that can get stuck in their stomachs and stuck in their throats. And although I don't work with cattle anymore, I remember when I was training to be a vet, we definitely did see, particularly from things like the paper lanterns that people release. We used to see a lot of wire injuries in cattle near paper lantern releases and also fireworks. So it's really important to think carefully about where the debris from your fireworks are going to land, and if possible, go and clear it up after the rocket has already been launched and is safe to do so. And then for bonfires, hopefully most people are aware that they should check their bonfires before they light them to make sure that we get any hedgehogs and small furries out. But it really is super important to actually lift all of the matter, the sticks and things that you're going to burn in your bonfire up and sort of replace them somewhere else. I think a lot of us will store them somewhere, and that's a perfect place for a little family of hedgehogs or mice or shrews or voles to make their winter home and bed down for the long winter. So it's really important that we actually move them up and preferably put them on something like some concrete paving slabs just before we actually build the fire ready to light. And then when you are lighting the fire, try to light it from one side and then leave the far side of the fire free and away from people so that if there are any small animals in there, they can run out and away from you and away from the fire. And they can get out, and that way we can look after our wildlife as well, because a lot of the species that overwinter somewhere like a bonfire are all quite endangered, and it's really important that we protect our biodiversity as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about the lighting the fire on one side. Even things like that is a really good tip, because I know people talk about this, but I've seen it on Twitter already, the Shepworth Hedgehog Hospital saying, please check your bonfires, having hedgehogs brought in, because they're about to hibernate now, aren't they? So of course it's lovely, all these lovely nice leaves that are around, and people, you know, thinking, oh great, they've made a bed for me, I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, going through it with one of those kind of garden forks, really fluffing all the leaves up and things, making sure you get right down to the bottom to make sure, because the middle and the bottom of the pile of leaves and sticks, that's the warmest place, so that's the perfect location. It's not enough to just kind of go through with a stick and poke it and hope that the hedgehog will run out, because if they're deep asleep, they're not going to. So it's really important that you completely dismantle whatever pile you've made and then rebuild it just prior to lighting it.
And I guess on that point, you have to just be very careful with your garden fork, though. I mean, it's one of those kind of plasticky ones or something, not a sharp pointed one.
You know, throwing the litter up in the air so that it all scatters down. And actually, it helps to dry it out if you do that as well.
True.
Burn better.
Thank you ever so much for those tips. And thank you ever so much for speaking to us this afternoon. And we'll see you next month. Thank you very much, Miss Fenway.
Absolutely.
Thank you.